This is work that I did while a student at UC San Diego. This is work with my advisors, Stefan Savage and Jeff Volker. This particular project, we're looking at how to make a situation better for, we say enterprise here, we're really focused on, small and medium businesses, not very large enterprises or, research groups. These organizations have to run a number of computing services to get work done. So there are things like email and shared file systems. But operating these can incur a significant cost. So you have to purchase the hardware for running these systems and then all the various costs for keeping it operating and managing the software on it. And there's the promise, at least, that outsourcing some of this work to the cloud can save on costs and management headaches. Some of these types of services are already migrating. So email, for example, a number of organizations are outsourcing to Google Apps for Business or other cloud email providers. But there are other services that haven't really migrated. For example, shared network file systems still are mostly hosted locally. The cloud does offer the promise, at least, of simplifying matters somewhat. So, for example, if it's possible to move storage to the cloud in some way, then the cloud offers basically unlimited storage capacity. You don't have to worry about provisioning how much storage do I need to buy, how many disks do I need. The cloud providers are providing durability, so they're responsible for making sure the data is replicated and so on. You don't have to worry about, say, expensive RAID arrays or other systems locally. Also, if you are looking at some type of cloud backup solution, if your storage is in the cloud already, you don't have to then ship your data to the cloud again for backup. It's already there. So in the project that I'm talking about today, we've built a system called Blue Sky, which is a prototype for how you might build a file server that is backed by cloud storage. Cloud services, cloud providers, this is a fairly nebulous term, and there are a number of different types of cloud services. One way to divide this up is into two different categories. One of them is software as a service offerings. These are things like Salesforce or Gmail or other hosted applications, oftentimes things running in a web browser, and what you're buying from the provider is a prepackaged software application. The other end of this spectrum are what is oftentimes referred to as platform or infrastructure as a service, where the provider has building blocks such as storage infrastructure and virtual machines that you can rent at fine time granularities and run software on, and then build applications on top of that. Some of the big players in this space are Amazon with their web services offerings, Microsoft Windows Azure, Rackspace Cloud, and several others. In both cases, most of the computing infrastructure is moved within the network, so the provider takes care of hosting most of the hardware. So this reduces or eliminates the need to worry about hardware maintenance locally for the customer, and can also reduce the need for capacity planning because the cloud will make available whatever capacity you need on demand. The differences between these two, software as a service are typically easy to set up, but the platform infrastructure as a service offer more flexibility because you can build whatever you need on top of them. And because they tend to be more interchangeable, there can be more competition and so potentially lower costs. In our Blue Sky work, we're focusing on building on top of these platform or infrastructure providers. The cloud storage that's offered by these providers, for example, Amazon S3, looks like a large key value store, and you can put arbitrary blobs of data into it. In a lot of ways, this looks like just another layer in the storage hierarchy, something we're all used to dealing with. But there are some differences. There are some differences relative to some of the storage that we're used to. So for example, the interface of the storage is quite different. It is a key value store, but you can only store complete objects, so you can't, say, easily update one block of a file in the cloud provider. You'd have to re-upload the contents of the file. However, random reads are possible. From a performance standpoint, you have a higher latency, typically because of the network that's been added in. So there are network round trips being added to whatever latency there is at the provider. On the other hand, because the storage infrastructure is within the provider, some large distributed system with many disk spindles, sending out a stream of many random reads doesn't have as much of a penalty overhead potentially as you would if you were hitting a single disk. Security is obviously a big concern. Many businesses are going to be hesitant about sending their data to a third-party provider for storage unless they can have some confidence that the data is actually being kept private. The cost structure for these cloud providers is different from what we're used to. The cost is very explicit. You're paying for network transfers into and out of the provider, storage being consumed on a per byte basis rather than some large upfront cost and then some other operating costs. You do have unlimited capacity, but you do want to try to be careful with the resources you're consuming because you are paying. The approach we take in building our Blue Sky system, so the idea is that we want to take a model where you have a number of clients in an organization that have previously been talking with a local file server using a network protocol like NFS or SIFS for Windows file sharing. And we're going to replace that file server with a machine that we refer to as a proxy. The clients don't have to be updated, so this makes deployment fairly simple. The clients just talk to this new proxy as if it were a legacy file server. That proxy, however, is not storing all data locally. It's turning around and interacting with the cloud storage provider, and data is ultimately stored in the cloud. Having this proxy within the organization locally, though, gives us a number of benefits. So it can provide lower latency communication with the clients. We can cache data at the proxy, so in a lot of cases, it's not necessary to make a round trip to the cloud to fetch data. We also implement write-back caching so that write operations can complete, again, with a lowered latency, and data is asynchronously pushed out to cloud storage. The proxy is also a convenient place to encrypt all data before it's sent to the cloud provider for privacy, so the cloud provider is never able to read the contents of all of the files that you're storing in the file system. In Blue Sky, we adopt a log-structured file system layout. So the clients are making a number of, say, write requests to the proxy, and the proxy batches these updates together into one or more larger log segments, which are then stored as objects in the cloud. And this provides both performance benefits and cost benefits, which I'll explain during the talk. We do take advantage of the random read access to data within an object in the cloud. So if we do need to fetch just part, say one object out of a large log segment, we can do that. Because this is a log-structured file system, we do obviously need a cleaner to recover storage space. We've designed the system so if you want to run the cleaner, say on the proxy machine or somewhere locally, you can. But it's also possible to run the cleaner in the cloud. So for example, if you're using Amazon S3 as a storage system, Amazon also has a compute infrastructure, their Elastic Compute Cloud or EC2, which allows you to run code on virtual machines and you're charged by the hour. So you can, say, run the cleaner on an EC2 instance, and this provides the benefit that you have fast, low latency access to the cloud storage, And because the communication is all taking place within Amazon's data centers, you're not being charged for wide area data transfers. However, we have designed the file system so that the cleaner can run without needing to hand the cleaner the decryption keys for the file system contents. So the cloud provider doesn't have the have access to the file system contents, even if the cleaner is running in the cloud. Our file system design is fairly straightforward, logs structured design. So logically, the file system can be viewed as a four-level tree. At the lowest level of this tree, we have data blocks, which are storing the contents of files, and there are inode objects that contain pointers to the data blocks that comprise each file. As there are updates being made to files, updated inodes are appended to the log. Since an inode doesn't live at any fixed location, we need some level of indirection to locate the most recent version of an inode. So there are inode map objects that list the most recent location of an inode, and finally a checkpoint object that says where the inode maps are located. When the proxy writes out a file system snapshot, the checkpoint is the last object written, so you can, on initialization, scan backwards in the log, find the last checkpoint, and from there traverse all of the file system structure. These objects, before they're written to the cloud, are packed together into larger log segments, which are the unit of storage in the cloud. And if there is a proxy and a cleaner running separately, these are writing to separate logs so that they're not overwriting each other's data. So the cleaner is able to run concurrently with the proxy. The proxy is responsible for merging some file system state. There's more details about how this all works in the paper. The general architecture for the system, some of this reiterating a bit. So there are clients locally that are communicating over either NFS or SIFS. The proxy is designed so that it can support either of these protocols through different front-end modules. As requests come in, the proxy is making updates in memory and then journaling changes to local disk. Since we're doing write-back caching, when an update request comes in from a client, we first log it to a local disk at the proxy, and we can reply to the client that the data is now durable on disk. After some amount of time goes by, we'll take a file system checkpoint, gather up all of the updates that have been made into log segments, and ship those to the cloud. It's very easy to add additional cloud storage backends. We've implemented backends for Amazon's S3 and for Windows Azure Storage. Data within the proxy is mostly unencrypted, but before it's handed off to the storage backends, it's encrypted as necessary. We hope that often read requests can be satisfied from the disk cache at the proxy, though if necessary, if there's a cache miss, the proxy will fetch data from the cloud, respond to the client, and also cache that data on local disk for future requests. Before looking at the storage of the Blue Sky system itself, to get an idea of the type of storage we might be able to expect, we did some benchmark measurements of Amazon's S3 storage service. These measurements were made from UCSD, and we happen to have a very good network connection to Amazon. So this might not be representative of what you get typically these days, but our hope is that going forward, network performance will improve, so this might be representative of what you'll get if you are running a Blue Sky-like system in the future. We have a gigabit network connection from a system that I'm testing from. In this particular experiment, storing data into S3. Results from reading back from S3 are similar. If you have one connection and you're storing small objects, the effective upload bandwidth is fairly low. The requests can't be pipelined, so a lot of the time is spent idle. If you use larger objects, more time is spent sending data, making use of that connection. Performance increases, although beyond about a megabyte, there are diminishing returns. At that point, you still can't take advantage of the network connection completely. But if you use multiple parallel connections to S3, if you get up to about 32 or 64 connections, you can actually almost entirely saturate a gigabit link into S3, storing data. Similarly, you can retrieve it, you know, practically a gigabit per second. In most of the measurements that we did, we were using Amazon's West Coast data centers, which were about a 12 millisecond network round trip from us. Going to the East Coast, it's about 30 milliseconds. You know, in the future, you know, from other users, you know, network bandwidth might increase, latency is limited by speed of light, although if providers are building more data centers, you might be lucky enough to have one near you. In general, though, these results do argue for the log structure design, or at the very least some method for aggregating data together before storing in the cloud so that you can get better throughput. A very simple measurement that we made of the performance of the Blue Sky system was just a unpacking a source tree and reading the contents back and building it. So I use the Linux kernel sources, and there's a write-only phase where we're unpacking the sources, a read-only phase where we check some of the sources, and then a mixed read-write phase with some think time where we run a compile. A baseline for comparison is setting up a local NFS server using standard Linux NFSD. Here the writes are a little bit slow simply because the NFS protocol and the NFS client is making sure that each file is flushed to disk before proceeding to the next. So there's a lot of synchronous operations here. Reading back is fairly quick. Compile is not too bad. Sort of as a straw man, we could look at, well, what if we did not have a local proxy and we're simply running an NFS server in the cloud? Here, because there's a high latency between the clients and the server, the performance degrades quite significantly. On the other hand, if we deploy our Blue Sky proxy system, and it has a local disk cache that's large enough to hold all of the file contents, we're back to effectively the same performance as a local NFS server. You'll notice that our write performance is better. We think this is due to the fact that the sort of the log structured layout on disk is somewhat better optimized for writes than the EXT3 file system we were using natively. But this shouldn't really be viewed as, you know, anything fundamental. On the read and the mixed read-write, comparable performance, were a little bit slower, although we, you know, are adding extra complications and we're running in user space rather than kernel space. On the other hand, if there is not data in the Blue Sky proxy's cache, if, say, we've unpacked the kernel sources and blown away the cache contents, and the client is requesting one file at a time, the performance degrades back to what it would have been for an NFS server in the cloud for this read-only workload from all of the round trips to fetch the files individually. The compile is a bit better because once the cache gets warmed up, we can provide better performance. We can also look at what if we turn off fetching of individual objects from segments and we pull down entire segments at a time. In this particular workload, because there's a lot of locality, that provides prefetching, which improves the performance and gets us closer to local performance. We can also look at running this experiment on Amazon's East Coast data centers. The results are similar. You have higher latencies when you have to go out to the cloud. To break some of these results down further, we next ran some read and write microbenchmarks. So the first of these, the read microbenchmark, the basic question we were trying to answer here is what is the performance of the Blue Sky system as a function of the effective cache hit ratio. The general idea is that since large disks are cheap enough, you should be able to put enough storage in the proxy that it can cache, say, most of the working set of the clients that are accessing it. You'll still have cache misses because clients might be changing their access patterns over time, but we're hoping for a relatively high hit rate. In this experiment, we had a file system and a client accessing data at random, and we were scaling down the size of the cache to simulate different cache hit ratios. At a 100% cache hit ratio, we're getting performance that is, again, comparable to a local server. As the hit ratio decreases, our performance is dropping, so higher latencies. But even if you only have a 50% hit ratio, the performance is, the latency is only 2 to 3 times higher than the local case. On the right side, the performance is a bit different. Because we're doing write-back caching, for the most part, write performance is just a function of how fast can the proxy journal data to local disk. The only time this isn't the case is if writes are coming in from clients quickly enough that the proxy's write cache fills up and it has to start throttling the clients. In an experiment here, we reduced the bandwidth to the cloud to 100 megabits per second and had a client sending a burst of write requests for 2 minutes at an increasing write rate. At low rates, the proxy is able to handle the writes and send the data to the cloud. Beyond about 12 megabytes a second, the proxy cannot send data to the cloud fast enough. And with a small cache, the cache fills up quickly, latency increases. With a larger cache, it can make it through more of the workload before performance drops off. Finally, to look at a more mixed workload, we use the SPEC-SFS 2008 benchmark. And there's quite a bit going on in this graph, so I'll just walk through this in a little bit more detail. So first, for a baseline, we had a native NFS server. SPEC-SFS has a number of client processes that are sending a stream of read and write and metadata update operations to the server. And we're measuring how many operations per second of throughput can the server actually provide. So as the clients attempt to send more and more requests per second, initially the server can keep up and we get a linear scaling that the actual throughput is equal to the requested throughput. At some point, the server becomes saturated, performance levels off or drops because the server is overloaded. And also, as the number of operations per second are being increased, SPEC-SFS is also increasing the size of the working set, which is shown on the top of the graph. This was for local NFS. If we look at Blue Sky, again, performance is fairly similar to what we're getting from a local file server. A little bit of an advantage on write operations, a bit of a disadvantage for some of the other operations, comes out fairly close to even. That was with an unconstrained network link to the cloud. We did run an experiment later on with a constrained network link. The performance drops off a little bit sooner and is also a bit more erratic at a higher number of operations per second. We weren't able to fully investigate this, although we think that some of this might be the proxy's write cache filling up, having to throttle the clients, and the time to flush data out to the cloud taking long enough that we're not actually getting isolation between the different experiments at different operations per second measurements. When we were looking at the kernel compile benchmark, we saw that sometimes fetching full segments from the cloud provided a performance benefit in that case. In this case, where there's a fairly random access to the data set, that's a penalty because we're fetching a lot of data that's put in the cache and then later gets evicted. So performance drops off. We also use some of the SPEC-SFS benchmark results to look at cost. So for S3, these are the cost breakdown, the cost for downloading data from the cloud, and costs per operation. This is another reason to aggregate data into segments. You want to try to minimize the number of operations. S3 used to have an upload cost, although they recently got rid of that. In our basic blue sky design, the costs are relatively evenly distributed between download per operation. If we were not using a log structure design and not aggregating, we have a high per operation cost. If we're doing full segment downloads, we're transferring a lot of data over the network. So this is why we went with the design that we did. Here we're not looking at storage cost. That is an important consideration, but it's somewhat orthogonal, because if you're running a cleaner, you can avoid wasting storage in the cloud. So regardless of the blue sky design, the storage costs are about the same. To conclude, though, we've built a system called Blue Sky, which is meant to be a prototype for a file server backed by cloud storage. It supports multiple protocols to the clients and to the cloud, and allows the clients to be transparently migrated. As long as storage is local, as long as access fits in the cache, you get performance comparable to local. And with that, I'll take any questions that people have.
Brent Callahan, Apple. I've got a couple of questions. The first is, have you thought about multiple proxies accessing the same data store? And the second is, have you thought about backup?
Yes, we have thought about both of those. So for the first, multiple proxies, this is something that we've thought about but haven't implemented. And there are two reasons you might want to do it. One, for higher scalability, you have a large number of clients, or for geographically distributed access to the same storage. You could certainly have multiple proxies writing to separate logs in the cloud and use some type of opportunistic concurrency. Each proxy could check for updates from the other. As long as clients aren't updating the same files, you'd be fine. If you wanted stronger consistency, you'd want to implement some type of distributed locking. But again, not something we've done. The second question for backup, you could, if you wanted, copy the data out of Blue Sky to some other cloud storage system. If you wanted to implement backup snapshots within Blue Sky, because we're log structured, you can, as long as you don't garbage collect old log segments, you can always, read a checkpoint record from some older point in the log and reconstruct the file system state at older points in time. You just need to update the cleaner so that it knows, for instance, not to delete log segments that belong to backup snapshots you want to preserve.
Umesh Maheshwari from Nimble Storage. So I'm wondering about whether log structuring was worth it given the complications with cleaning in this case. And you gave two reasons. One was to improve bandwidth or throughput, and the second was to lower cost because it's per store cost.
Right.
For the first, though, to improve throughput, I was wondering why you couldn't just increase parallelism, send more requests at a time, and provided that you're sending at least a few kilobytes at once. Why couldn't you go up to the full bandwidth with many more requests?
So you probably could get decent performance if you go to more parallelism, although if there are smaller files, you'd have to have a large number of concurrent connections. It might get a little bit iffy. The bigger reason is for cost, that if you're storing many small objects, the per operation cost becomes very significant.
Okay.
And also for cleaning, if you're cleaning in the cloud, you don't pay transfer costs, but you do still pay per operation costs. If you're doing, file system check or other tasks that want to scan over the data, you'd be paying a higher per operation cost there.
Well, cleaning would be a way.
Well, I guess you could avoid cleaning, but you might still want other maintenance tasks.
All right, thanks.
Steve Dixon from Red Hat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, what does local server, NFS server mean? Because those numbers you put up were horrible. and what was it, V3 over the WAN? And what does that mean? How did you test that? Because we don't see those numbers at Red Hat.
Okay. So there are some hardware specifications in the paper, but we were just using a rack-mounted server with.
So it was a Linux server. It wasn't. It was a.
It was a Linux server with just two disks. There was nothing too special about them, and I didn't do more performance tuning, so it's possible that
those numbers
might have been able
those aren't.
That wouldn't be. If you were running something like a NetApp server or a higher-end storage system, you'd get much better numbers than that, certainly.
Thank you.
Joe Tuchek, HP Labs. I'm just wondering if you've given any thought to the different consistencies that the different storage systems on the back end might provide, you know, like Google can read your own writes versus the S3 and the Azure consistency models.
So our thoughts on this, because we're log structure, we're not overwriting data in place in the cloud. Eventual consistency doesn't provide as much of a problem for us. If you try to read an object from the cloud, it's either there or it's not there. You don't have to worry about which version you're getting.
And so what would your behavior be if something just suddenly wasn't there?
If something suddenly wasn't there, we could retry the operation. We'd probably eventually time out and give an error to the client.
Let's thank our speaker again, please.